All right, thank you. Okay, it looks like everyone's ready, so, hello, Dan. So let's begin the June 21st, happy solstice, everyone, Public Works Advisory Board meeting, and we'll start with the roll call.
Thank you, Chair Beal. Advisory Board Member Nava. Here. Advisory Board Member Irwin.
Here.
Advisory Board Member Rogers is absent. Advisory Board Member Goldman. Here. Advisory Board Member Ingrafia.
Here.
And Advisory Board Member Gaffney is absent. We do have quorum.
All right, thank you. We'll start, as usual, with a moment of silence. And then next, any board member would like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance today? Yes. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Let's see, next, I believe we would be asking if there are any announcements.
Thank you, Chair Beals. Staff does have a few announcements. First, I'd just like to note that the Advisory Board will notice there are no meeting minutes from the prior meeting as part of tonight's agenda to be approved. And there's a simple reason for that, because our admin staff has been pretty overloaded with some work, and they haven't been able to put those minutes together. So we'll bring those to the next meeting, along with this meeting's meeting minutes for approval at the August meeting. Another announcement, you may have seen that at City Park, we do have fencing going up today. So we hope to be done with all of the fencing this week. And once all the fencing is up, that project is concluded. It was done on time and under budget. So something we're very proud of, and it will be certainly done in time for Art in the Park to have their regular July 4th weekend event. Art in the Park also had their Memorial Day weekend event. That was when most of the project was done, except for a couple of items, but we cleared it out so that there was no disruption to their event. So the other event that the city staff is closing out right now is the Elena Street storm drain project. That was the project that essentially washed out a storm drain that also happened to be above a sewer. All of it was on an easement, but next to private property, and was really compromising a slope there. We put in a pretty large wall. If you haven't seen it yet, I'd encourage you all to drive down Juniper. You can see the concrete wall there that's holding back that slope. That job really was a tough one for a lot of reasons, and the rains this winter didn't help. So, however, our engineering team was able to close it out with the assistance of a contractor. Other than that, no updates from staff.
Thank you. Any board announcements? I have just a short one, just noting that I will actually be on vacation at the next meeting in August, so I will look to my able vice chair to take over command for that meeting. And then next we would take any public comment. If there is public comment on any matters that are not noted on the agenda, this would be the time. Anyone here present that would like to make such a comment? And I don't see any, so is there any virtual attendee who would like to comment?
There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
Okay. Then I think we can move on to our agenda. We have item A1.
Thank you, Chair Beal. So the first item is about the Rancho Colina Mutual Water Company. I'll give a very brief overview of that situation. Last year, we were approached by the state to look at consolidating Rancho Colina into our wastewater and water systems. That is because they are seeing drinking water contamination there, and their wastewater treatment is not meeting some state standards. And it would be very expensive for Rancho Colina to upgrade those systems to where it would meet state requirements. And the easier lift may be to simply consolidate those systems into the cities. Rancho Colina is a mobile home and RV park that's about a mile and a half outside the city limits. It is on Highway 41, and if you're leaving the city, it's up on the left side. Steve McLevane, the owner and operator of that park, is well known to the city. There was some participation by Mr. McLevane in the development of some siting for the wharf. That was actually, that area was considered a potential site for the wharf at one time. That later turned out it just didn't work out. And then a couple of other sites were looked at, and ultimately we landed on the site down on South Bay for the wharf. There are some intriguing incentives to consolidation of these two systems with the city. And the main one is that not only would all work related to the consolidation be paid for by the state, and that includes everything up to even the grant applications, but the state has incentive money for each of those consolidations. And I believe the last time we looked at it, it was somewhere up to $15 to $20 million. Dan will give some exact estimates later in the presentation, but I do want to call that out. That incentive money is not just cash. It would come by way of upgrades to our own water and sewer systems that we need to add any capacity to do this consolidation. Now, it just so happens that the city is in the middle of a few rather expensive water and wastewater projects to upgrade capacity. And so staff sees a potential consolidation of the systems as a way to help pay for some of our projects that we planned on doing anyway. Those projects could include the Nutmeg Pressure Zone project, which right now in our budget is running somewhere around $18 million. So it doesn't mean that the project will wind up costing that, but those are the preliminary estimates. We have Main Street and Atascadero Road sewer mains that need to go in. We have a Beachcomber sewer line that needs to go in. We have sewer manhole projects. There's a lot of projects, and we don't have financials to show you all tonight, but I can say that if you've watched the City Council budget hearing presentation, you can see that the sewer and water funds are projected to not do so well over the next several years, partly because of the large capital projects that we're carrying. And I will say, as Public Works Director, those capital projects, and I've listed three or four of them, are really just the beginning for what we need to do to adequately invest in our system to ensure its maintenance for future use. So that's one reason that the funds are struggling. Not this year, but you know, over the next several years, they will. The other reason, of course, is because the city hasn't raised rates in several years. Costs go up every year. Our revenue stays flat. And for anyone who's been a business owner, that math doesn't work in the long run. And so the promise of, you know, and again, Dan will give a number later. I don't want, you know, somewhere in the $15 to $20 million range of potential funding offsets from the state is very attractive, you know, in exchange for bringing, you know, 125 units into our system. There may be many implications to that move. You know, we're not going to talk about all those tonight because we're in a very early stage of this. I'll share that in September of the last year. Staff brought to City Council an agreement that we made with Rancho Colina, and then we executed that agreement. And that agreement essentially said, we're going to pursue this grant, but the mobile home park is going to pay for the preparation of that grant. And I believe it was up to $25,000. We chose Confluence Engineering. Representative Dan Heimel of Confluence Engineering is sitting next to me. So Dan is in progress with that application, but we will be taking a question to City Council, likely in August, as to whether or not they will authorize us to submit those grant applications. For those that don't know, anytime we submit any grant application, we require City Council authorization to do that. So we wanted to run this by PWAB, see if we had any PWAB comments or questions. So with that said, I'm going to let Dan jump into the presentation again. We have Dan Heimel from Confluence Engineering. I'm going to ask you not, Dan, to read that long six-line heading. But essentially, we plan to take resolutions to City Council authorizing the city manager to apply for two grants, one on the drinking water side and one on the wastewater side. So with that, Dan, you can take it away.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I feel bad for whoever has to make the motion on this item, but I'm sure we can get through it. So I think you covered a lot of the relevant information here. I'll just hit some highlights. Rancho Colina Mutual Water Company serves a disadvantaged community, water and wastewater services, aging wastewater treatment plant, water supply that's vulnerable to nitrate contamination, as well as a loss of supply during drought periods. Historically, they've had to truck water in during the extended droughts of 2012 to 2016. And so the regional board has really approached the city about this project and said, we have a utility out here that's struggling. They're a small utility. They have limited resources. You're a lot much larger utility. You're nearby, and we think that we have a funding source that could help both fund a consolidation effort but also help fund some of the city's public works projects, as Greg mentioned. So that's the situation. Digging into the next slide, and on some of the specifics, there's currently 69 mobile home units and 57 recreational vehicle units, total of 126 units. We go to the next slide. And then the funding really is broken down by the number of units. So on the wastewater side, the current consolidation program has an eligibility amount of $100,000 per unit for consolidation. The current thinking is that that would likely only be eligible for the mobile home units, and the recreational vehicle units might not be eligible for the consolidation funding. Still would need to be worked out with the Clean Water State Revolving Fund representatives. And or the Mutual Water Company has said that they might be interested in changing the distribution of the types of units if it made the consolidation eligible for more grant funding.
Thank you, Dan. I just want to speak to that briefly. So, again, this is for wastewater, $100,000 per unit. Right now, that would only include the mobile homes. There are 69 of them. That's $6.9 million. Rancho Colina has said, well, maybe we could be talked into converting some of the RV units into mobile home units. So if you look at that, if, let's just say they were to convert all of them, which may not be likely, but for argument's sake, that would put us at $12.6 million just for wastewater. And again, that funding is on top of the cost of actually doing the work. That's the incentive money. Is that correct?
My understanding is that's the total.
Oh, that's
amount
the total
of eligible funding. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got it. Yeah, we should check on that. But I had a different understanding. But okay.
And I guess I would also add that the funding programs do have a cap, and so on the wastewater side, they're currently in the program with a cap of $10 million total. So, and then on the drinking water side, the the current funding per connection is 70,000. You apply that to the number of mobile home units, and that's 4.8 million potentially available. So if you combine both those numbers under the current configuration, potentially 11.7 million available in consolidation funding for the program.
And that's with the current configuration of the 69 units only being applicable for wastewater, right?
There's a $6 million cap on the drinking water funding, so with a reconfiguration under the numbers we have in front of us currently, the maximum award could potentially be $16 million.
Okay, so I stand corrected on the 15 to 20, it'd be around $12 million, roughly.
Well, 10 for wastewater, 6 for drinking water.
Okay, 16 then.
16.
Thank you.
Could I interrupt with a clarification question? So you said this is the money that is the incentive money, but it is not the project, the cost of the project money. Is that right?
So my understanding of the program is that, you know, the 11.7 million, or again with the reconfiguration and maximizing the available funding, the 16 million, that is grant funding that could be made available to design, permit the project, construct the consolidation or the pipelines between the city and Rancho Colina, as well as fund necessary upgrades to the city water and wastewater systems to accommodate those additional customers.
This money?
This money.
Okay. Thank you.
You'll provide what? Do you have a preliminary estimate on putting the pipes in?
At this point, we don't have a preliminary estimate for putting the pipes in. Again, as Greg mentioned, we're very early phases of the project and really just looking at preparing the grant application to access the funding to do the evaluation, design, permitting, and get the project ready for construction bidding, at which point the city would then go back and submit a construction application to the funding agencies for the money to actually complete the project.
Before we continue with questions, let me just ask if the presentation is finished. Should we open it up to questions, or were you planning to continue? I don't want to derail your
presentation. We've just got a couple of slides, I guess, here. Let me just run through them quickly, and then we can come back. So just a figure of Rancho Colina relative to the city. I want to say obvious, but, you know, the direct line is down Highway 41, but there are, you know, potential challenges associated with running utilities along a state highway. So the planning application funding would look at different routing alternatives. But, and then on the next slide, it just kind of outlines kind of the process, as I described. So the city has executed a cost-sharing agreement with Rancho Colina to prepare the planning grant application. The planning grant applications, I should say, are in progress. And one of the components of the application is the resolution from the governing board, in the city's case, the city council, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreements with the state agencies to access the funding. And so that's one of the real drivers for bringing this item. If the city is awarded the grant funding, then it would initiate the design, permitting, and all related activities, and then ultimately consider submittal of a construction grant, if at that time it was deemed beneficial for the city, you know, and so I think we move to the next slide, you know, kind of the key components of this, or maybe one more slide, you know, are that, you know, all the efforts initially and all the way throughout the project are envisioned to be either funded by Rancho Colina or through these state grants, so with a limited to no cost to the city. Other than some staff time. There's no commitment associated with this to connect to Rancho Colina by entering into these agreements and pursuing these grant fundings. And then it's an opportunity to potentially leverage outside funding to offset costs for city customers for necessary water, wastewater infrastructure upgrade projects.
So thank you for that, and I apologize. Last time I was on the call with the state was probably August of last year on this. So I maybe misremembered what the total incentives were, but I will take Dan's word for it, and we'll certainly double-check before we take this to council. But with that, I just want to be clear. What we're asking for is a recommendation from the PWAP to the City Council to authorize the application of both of these grants. Again, no commitment, no cost to the city. We don't actually have to follow through on doing the consolidation at this phase, and right now there's no cost to the city. So end of presentation. We'll take questions.
I have one. I understand that there's a upfront financial benefit to pursuing the study and possibly making the connections. Long-term wise, has the city discussed annexing this land into the city? It's a business, and it seems like there's some tax revenue that the city might be missing out on. And there's also the prospect that the property owner changes his property through county permits and does something different with the water that he's now acquiring and potentially the sewer wastewater. I'm just curious if the city's considered annexing this and if that's something that's on the table.
Thank you, Advisory Board Member Nava. It's a good question. Short answer is yes. We are very, very early and far from that sort of consideration. But looking ahead, it would be probably preferable to look to annex the park, namely because our general plan doesn't allow us to build infrastructure outside of the city limits. So that would be our first consideration. We don't want to do anything that's not in alignment with the general plan. There may also be some benefits to annexing a low-income, disadvantaged community into the city from a future grants perspective. The city currently doesn't have a disadvantaged community designation, and that puts us at a disadvantage when applying for state grants. And then also for the reasons that you mentioned, there may be some challenges to annexing Rancho Colina because they are a mile out. So exactly how that would look on a map would really be up to our LAFCO. And so it's not totally up to the city. There's a local agency that makes those sorts of decisions. The city would have to take a case to them about that. But again, that is some time away. Like Dan said, I mean, first we have to get the grant, and then we, you know, each phase of it has new applications. So it is something, though, that we would consider.
Your answer brought up another question, then. If the facilities are outside of the city limits and they're part of our infrastructure, how would the city maintain them?
Again, I'm speculating here because we're not that far along yet. But I would imagine that we'd have some sort of contractual agreement. I think we want to, at this phase, remain pretty open-minded. And, you know, I mean, there's even some other ideas that we've just tossed around internally. For example, we have a need to have a larger storage tank for water pressure purposes. That's the main driver of the Nutmeg Pressure Zone project. The Nutmeg site is not an ideal site. Because of access issues, and it's also not on city property, so we're paying a lease every year on it. You know, maybe there's a configuration where we can put a big tank up at Rancho Colina. Again, this is just kind of speculation, loose ideas going around, but I think all that will be under consideration at a later phase of this potential project.
I wanted to ask Mr. Heimel if there's a consideration towards the allocation the city gets and how much is going to be promised to Rancho Colina. Is that something that the county would participate in and potentially increase our amount that the contract would allow?
Yeah, that would definitely be one of the components that would be considered in the planning phase, would be, you know, both the capacity of the city infrastructure, tanks, pipes, and pumps to provide water to that those additional users, as well as the water supply portfolio's ability to, you know, handle the additional demand. I don't think there's been any specific discussions with the county, though I can say that the county has a significant excess allocation of state water currently and is soliciting additional uses. So I think if it was determined that additional state water supply was necessary, there could be an opportunity to obtain that to accommodate additional demands.
I have just a question or a thought. I'm thinking that, you know, one of the ultimate concerns might be here when this plan is finally fleshed out after years of negotiation, that it might actually cost the city of Morro Bay more than it's getting through the various grants. But I would gather that at this point it's impossible to tell that, and I can't see any disadvantage to simply talking about this and seeing, you know, what the costs and the details bear out. Is anyone aware of any disadvantage to getting the grants and discussing this? I can't actually speculate about that.
I'll answer that. Thank you for the question, Advisory Board Member Ingrafia. I don't see any disadvantages to talking about it and applying for the grants. There could be potential disadvantages to implementing such a project, as you mentioned. Anytime we build new infrastructure, that needs to be maintained in the long term. The city doesn't have a great track record of putting money aside for that. And then that infrastructure becomes liability that we haven't figured out how to pay for. So at this stage, is that something we should be thinking about? Probably not. I mean, I think staff's position on it is we want to bring this to a place where we can show the city council whether or not this is a good deal. And the only way we can do that is to go through the preliminary steps first.
There are a lot of other water users in this watershed and in this aquifer. I'm curious, is it only because Rancho Colina is associated that we're working with them, or do they also serve any of the other water users in this aquifer that we would potentially be working with in the future?
Thank you for the question, Advisory Board Member Nava. So just want to make sure it's understood that the city did not seek this opportunity out. It was the Regional Water Quality Control Board and Rancho Colina that reached out to us. So that is the real reason we're looking at this, and it is because the state in general wants to consolidate some of these small systems that may not be able to afford to bring their systems into compliance with state standards into larger systems that can. And I'm not familiar enough with regulations that look at what sort of systems ag users need, but that just hasn't been brought to us. I'm also not aware of any kind of deals that, you know, Rancho Colina might have with its neighbors on what they might do with the water. That said, there's obviously a lot of ag users up in that area, and there could be an opportunity to pursue to, for example, bring recycled water up that Route 41 while we're already opening up the road or opening up the side of the road to put in an alignment. I don't know that we would have the money to do that, but it could be something to at least look at.
Okay. On these resolutions, it says, for example, that the analysis to connect Rancho Colina, the city would likely need to complete the main Atascadero Street sewer replacement, $7.9 million, to accommodate the additional sewer flows. And so I wanted to know, isn't the Main Street Atascadero connection part of the one water system? Is it already in our funding? I mean, is this going to be $7.9 million more than what it's going to cost us, or is that?
It's a good question, Advisory Board Member Goldman. You're correct. That's an existing, that Atascadero Main Street sewer replacement project and is an existing project that we're already planning on doing. We don't anticipate that inclusion of 129 users would have any change to that capacity upgrade need. So, yes, it's something we'd already be doing. It is not an addition.
So the $7.9 million would be beneficial to the city if we got, if would allow the city, see, this would likely need, see, the city would likely need to complete that sewer replacement at $7.9 million. I guess I'm getting myself confused. Is it $7.9 million for the total cost of that, or is $7.9 million more, but you said it, you didn't anticipate it being more? I guess what I'm asking, is it covered by the WRF project? Thank you.
Great question, Councilmember Goldman. I can say that, I'm sorry, Advisory Member Goldman, it is not covered by the WRF project. It's not part of the WRF project. It is part of the One Water Plan.
Okay.
It's a project in the One Water Plan. And the current estimate for the Atascadero main upgrade and the Main Street main upgrade is $7.9 million
okay.
together. I think the purpose of including these in the rezo is, you know, if we want to apply for these grants, we have to connect the infrastructure upgrades that we want to use incentive money for to this potential project. And so what we want to be able to do is say, yes, if we do these connections to bring in Rancho Colina, then we absolutely need the Main Street main and the Atascadero main to be upgraded. But again, that's already a project that we have on the books that I believe is at 60% design currently. So it's something that we've already made significant progress on.
Well, is that ultimately a consideration in whether the grant is issued, the fact that the city is already planning to do that work anyway?
Thank you for the question, Chair Beal. I don't think so. I don't think so, because the state wants to make sure that the city has capacity to make the consolidation happen, and they would be trusting our long-range planning documents on that, and these projects are in the One Water Plan.
I think I had a few additional questions. So I believe the information provided said that it's not expected that the grant proposal would exceed $25,000, but if it does that mean the city would need to pay for that?
Thank you for the question, Chair Beal. If we were anticipating that cost to prepare the grant would exceed $25,000, which we don't expect. But if we did, we could increase the agreement amount that we have with Rancho Colina to increase their contribution. I will say that Rancho Colina is in a tough spot. They either have to comply with the state's order or consolidate with us. And from their perspective, you know, $25,000 or $30,000 is pretty insignificant compared to the costs of upgrading their systems. So there is a big interest on their side to make this happen.
I had a question about the proposed Highway 41. I forget what you called it, but the
intersection improvements?
Intersection improvements. Well, the pipes we're putting in for the sewer project. Is there enough capacity to add the 160 units or whatever? In that current design, or would we have to modify it, or we have no idea?
Thank you for your question, Advisory Board Member Irwin. I believe, if I have it right, you're asking whether or not any kind of traffic impacts from the consolidation?
No traffic. Just sewer.
Just sewer in the intersection improvements?
Basically, we're replacing the sewer project there. Is that right? The one water project?
Yes, the Atascadero Main.
The Atascadero Main. Does that have enough capacity, or would that be affected by, I assume it does. We would have to provide send some additional water down to the pump station. Is that right?
Yes, I understand your question now. We believe so, but that's something that we would evaluate during our planning process. And I'll say this. If there's some deal breaker for the city, like, we have to build a new pump or something, and city would have to pay for it, then, obviously we would just not do this.
Okay.
Will the proposal be tied to the current use of the property? I think this follows on a question of Robert. Is it based on the existing use of that property, or would it ultimately tie the city to expanding whatever amount of water and sewer use is currently occurring?
Thank you for the question, Chair Beal. So the grant that we're seeking authorization from the City Council to apply for now is for planning. And so, at this stage in the game, the current use of that site may change, as indicated earlier. There may be reason to, for example, convert some of the RV spots to mobile home spots. And, if we go down this road and, we get to the point where we want to design and construct, then we would have to come to an agreement in the consolidation agreement with the Rancho Colina Park. And there we would have the option to restrict uses if needed.
Yeah, that strikes me as reasonable. The scope of the use of the water at that project would be a function of bargaining between the city and the property owner. And those details would be part of the study and the negotiations and the final agreement, yeah.
Are there any further questions of the board? If not, we would proceed to public comment. If we have any members of the public, please.
Thank you, Board Chairman. Barry Brannon, City of Morro Bay. I have five clear questions. Some of them have been answered. Number one, if they hook the cleaner to the city's water, what will their water rates be? Would they have to pay a premium to be able to hook up to the system? Because obviously we've been paying our water bills, to paying the infrastructure cost to build a new sewer plant for quite some time. So they have not had to pay that capital investment that we've had to pay. So it appears to me that they need to catch up as far as their water rate score, as far as our infrastructure cost to pay off the bond. So that's number one on issues. Number two, the annexation question is excellent. I think it's appropriate for annexation. One of my items is that what area are we talking about? Mr. McElvey lives a little ways up the road from where the Rancho Colina is. He has his house there. He also has his sewer treatment plant is in his front yard, so to speak. And between his house and Rancho Colina, there's a large meadow where he's been spreading his recycled water. So the question is, and he's been running cattle on that recycled water, what geography are we talking about? How much area are we really talking about? And would we restrict this water use to, so it couldn't be used for ag? It couldn't be he couldn't be out there farming grapes. So water restriction use is obviously the question. And one more is he has wells on that property. And wells, I have a ranch, wells are very valuable. And so it appears to me that the city right now is is our wells here are not good. We abandoned the wells in Chorro Valley. Our wells that we have at Lila Kaiser Park are insufficient. They have to be ROed like mad. So it seems obvious that we should be able to acquire those wells as far as the city's portfolio. And then the last thing is that you mentioned briefly is right now we're doing some as part of our WRF to recharge the aquifer with our treated water. And based on some studies that Mr. Truesdale done and I've done as an engineer, I believe that that water recharge concept that we're doing is probably will never work. So it seems obvious to me if we're going to recharge an aquifer, they have a lot of room up there. If we do acquire the room, then maybe perhaps our recharge water would go up the valley and then therefore be recaptured with the wells. So that's some of the questions I have. Obviously, items that should be used for negotiation, but it appears to me that this is beyond just the scope that the engineering department. You need some negotiators going on, and I believe that that's appropriate to ask for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Evening, Betty Winholtz. I have about four comments. First comment has to do with how we got here, and I understand that Rancho Colina is in a trouble, but I'm wondering what kind of pressure the state board or the regional board has put on the city. Is there an agreement there, a written one that's available, or is it just, how is it that we are tied to this situation? Some history. The trunk line on Atascadero Main Street was discussed earlier. Seems like a natural link to this. I'm not sure that I see a link to the storage tank and Nutmeg, and in fact had also thought about whether or not there's room to store water out there or somewhere else. And how much would that be? How much more, capacity? Would that be? I have a question about using Confluence for this. I just want to know if there's a conflict of interest there since he was already on board with other projects. Did this project go out to bid? Should it have or is it not? And is there a conflict of interest? And then finally, can the city actually contract with someone outside the city limits to give them state water? I thought that was part of our contract when we signed up for state water, that we can't then take state water and sell it to somebody else. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we have any virtual attendees who wish to comment?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right. And was the city hoping for a motion from the board?
Well, Chair Beal, I would ask if maybe we could respond to some of those questions, and perhaps the board would want to have some discussion on it amongst each other. But, yes, ultimately we are looking for a motion, and the motion would be to recommend to the city council that we move forward with authorization for these grants, these two grants. I don't know that we're going to go through all these, but I would say for a lot of Mr. Brandon's questions, excellent points. I would say that some of these are negotiation points that we're just not there yet, but certainly we want input from the public, and we'll take all of these into consideration. As I mentioned earlier, even internally, we're looking at that area up there and thinking, yeah, maybe there's some stuff we could put up there as well. The question about, and also I just want to address the water rates and the wastewater rates question. That's an answer we don't have yet, something we'd be looking at later on. Obviously, we'd have to comply with state law regarding water rates. So I prefer not to speculate on how we would do that at this time. To Ms. Winholtz's questions, no pressure from the state. I've been told that the state could just force us to do this. I've also been told by some other jurisdictions that they've been threatened with that, and it just didn't really amount to anything. Staff is bringing this forward because there was a request from the state to look at it. Because it's at no cost to the city at this time, and no commitment to the city at this time, and there's a potential big incentive to offset very large infrastructure costs for infrastructure improvements that are already needed. So that's why we're here. We also did take this to the City Council for that agreement for $25,000 in September of last year. $25,000 is within the purchasing authority of me, the Director of Public Works. And I don't really have comments to the other questions except for the state water. So once state water hits the city's lines, it becomes a municipal mix. It's no longer state water. So we have a pipe that comes in at the King's tanks. Once the water goes into the King's tanks, it's technically not state water anymore. It's just part of our water system. So I don't see any issue there.
Any additional questions from the board or discussion?
I don't see there being a problem with us continuing the process of evaluating this and participating in the study. There's no commitment to the city, and there's no cost. And there'll be more opportunities to participate in negotiations in the future. I would support us moving forward with this.
If you wish to make a motion, please do so.
I would just say that you can just say to move the staff recommendation if you don't wish to read the entire thing.
Great. Yeah, I move that we recommend this staff recommendation to the council.
I'll do a roll call.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion on that? Or can I do the roll call?
Would you like to speak to your motion? I think you already did. Do you have anything else to add? Anyone else? No? I guess we are prepared.
Okay. Advisory Board Member Goldman?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Ingrafia?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Chair Beal?
Yes.
Motion passes.
So moving on, we have, let's see, agenda item 1. The annual water supply. Do we have a presentation?
We do. Thank you, Chair Beal. This item is our annual water supply and demand assessment, and we combine that presentation of that assessment with the water equivalency units presentation. The annual water supply and demand assessment is something that we have to do per the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan that was approved by Council in 2021. And so this is just an annual thing that we do where we look at our water supply and demand. And then the water equivalency unit is something that is based on a measure that was passed in the 80s. We'll talk about that a little bit. And it is also something that we bring to the City Council once a year in June. So we'll spend some time talking about our water supply backgrounds, our current water conservation requirements, our projected water supplies for the upcoming fiscal year. We'll then do our annual water supply and demand assessments, and then our recommendation for the allocation of water equivalency units. So as everyone in this room likely knows, most of our water comes from the State Water Project. Morro Bay is a subcontractor to the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. The district is a contractor to the State Water Project. The district itself receives, on a full allocation year, 25,000 acre-feet per year from DWR. The city and 10 other subcontractors of that take a bite of 4,830 acre feet per year, again at full allocation, and then an additional 5,707 acre feet as drought buffer. And the remaining 14,000 and a half or so acre feet of the district's state water allocation is what's called the district's unsubscribed allocation. Here's a map overview. You can see here we're all the way on the left, that kind of green speck there. We're at the end of the Chora Valley pipeline. If you go to the right, the water flows down the California Aqueduct and comes off the coastal branch, and it weaves its way down, ultimately going to Polonio Pass, which is near the edge of San Luis Obispo County, but within the county. And that is where state water is treated. After that, it goes down gravity and then branches off onto the Chora Valley pipeline to go to Morro Bay. So what other water supplies do we have beyond state water? We have the Morro Basin well field. That's near Lila Kaiser Park. You'll see some by the motel there. If you're on the bike path, there's wells all in that area. We have seven wells. We currently have a permit that limits our extraction to 581 acre feet from that basin. Just to give you an idea, and then we'll go over this more in the presentation, our annual demand is around 1,100 acre feet. So this water supply does not allow us to meet our demand. That's why we rely on state water. This water supply does have elevated levels of nitrates and must be treated through our reverse osmosis system. That treatment process loses 25% of the water. So if you multiply 0.75 by 581 acre feet, that is what you get for our total possible water output from the Morro Basin. I believe it's like 435. That is the max that we can pull out of that basin right now per year. And outside of that, we don't have another water supply. We hope to bring recycled water, indirect potable reuse, online sometime in 2025. So water conservation, this was a big deal last year and the year before and probably 15 years before that. The winter storms of this past year have totally changed that landscape. We are no longer in a drought condition for the county of San Luis Obispo. State of California is looking good. There's snowpack. Everyone has a lot of water. Water is cheap right now. And on March 24th, the governor announced an easing of drought restrictions that were put in place in 2021. On April 25th, the City Council reduced the water conservation requirements from severely restricted conditions to moderately restricted conditions. These restrictions are reduced, allowing outdoor irrigation every day of the week, but still prohibits watering between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So what are our projected water supplies? So again, due to the copious amounts of rain that came this year, we are receiving a 100% allocation from the State Water Project, first time since, I believe, 2006. So the city has up to, now this is where it gets kind of funny, because we have in our Table A allocation 1,313 acre feet of state water, but then we also have 2,290 acre feet of drought buffer. And so that totals 3,603 acre feet per year. Far exceeds our demand of around 1,100 acre feet per year. And so that means that even if the fiscal year 23-24 rain season is dry, the city anticipates having around 1,800 acre feet of surplus stored water remaining to meet the following year's demands. So that's a good thing. That said, and I think Dan will talk about this in his portion of the presentation, that stored water for state water can go away through a process called spilling. And that's not actual spilling, but it's paper spilling. That's something that we'll be exploring with the PWAB later this year, is what to do about that problem of not being able to retain our stored water through the state water project. So now we come to the annual water supply and demand assessment. I'm going to kick it over to Dan for this portion.
Thanks, Greg. Chair Beal, yeah, happy to present the annual water supply demand assessment this year. As Greg mentioned, it's a much different environment than we found ourselves in a year ago. But the annual water supply demand assessment, it's a new California Water Code requirement. It's due by July 1st of every year. And it's really, it's the Department of Water Resources, another way that they have water utilities making sure that they're doing their due diligence when it comes to drought planning. So they want all utilities, as they approach the end of the fiscal year, take a look and make sure that they have enough water to get through another 12-month period with the assumption that the next year is going to be a dry year. And also to use that information, the amount of water they have available, to inform what levels of their water shortage contingency plan they might need to implement to ensure they have enough water to provide their customers. So we need to make a number of assumptions when we do that sort of one-year look ahead in terms of how much water the city will have. For this year, you know, we base this year's allocation on, as Greg described, 100% allocation of state water. That's the water the city has available to it. But for next year, to be consistent with the drought resource planning, we assume that it's a 5% allocation, one of the lowest allocations that we've seen from the state water project. Because of the high allocation this year, the city can store up to 1,800 acre feet in San Luis Reservoir as part of the state water project and access that water in subsequent years. And as Greg mentioned, with an annual demand of 1,100 acre feet per year, that's, you know, over a year and a half's worth of water that the city can put into storage this year. We also have to plan for the annual state water shutdowns that typically occur in November, lasting approximately 2 weeks. And then we factor in water supply availability from the Morro Basin under the city's existing water rights permits. We look at the anticipated demands, what was called unconstrained demand, or demand without significant water conservation restrictions. And then we also evaluate, you know, incorporate the anticipated reduction in demand associated with the current water conservation stage level, which is level 2, with roughly equivalents to a 10% reduction in demand. So those are the assumptions that go into the annual water supply demand assessment. And then this is just a graphical representation of how we think the city city's water supply will fare in this upcoming fiscal year. So, to orientate everybody, the blue line represents the anticipated demand that we'll see over the upcoming fiscal year, accounting for a little bit of conservation, only 10%. And then the colored columns represent the amount of water supply that's available during those months. And what we want to see is the colored columns exceeding the demand, and we can see that in every month over the next fiscal year, we anticipate having a surplus of water available for the city and thus meeting the demands. And so we package that up into DWR's forms. We submit that to them to show that the city's done its water supply planning and anticipates a sufficient supply for the upcoming fiscal year.
I just wanted to check if there's any questions from the advisory board on the annual water supply and demand assessment.
Yeah, can you explain why March, April, May, June have no state water?
Yeah, good question. I should have highlighted that difference. So the darker blue represents state water that's been allocated and available that year. At the state water kind of resets at the end of the calendar year, just to make it more confusing. So we're doing fiscal year planning, but state water resets on a calendar year basis. So what we're showing is that, you know, plenty of water allocated this year, this calendar year, the second half of this, or the first half of this upcoming fiscal year. Then in January, we're showing that, well, it's a 5% allocation year. So there's a very small amount of state water allocated for the second half of the upcoming fiscal year. The city uses that in January, February, but then has access to the light blue columns, its stored state water. So that would be the stored state water it stored this calendar year. And so just trying to differentiate that.
And so if I could summarize that, basically for the next calendar year, we present the worst case scenario. And in that scenario, we run out of direct state water allocations in February, and then we have to rely on stored water.
So for comparison, can you remind me what was allocated for the previous year, and were those fully used?
We had, in the past two calendar years, we had 5% years each year, which I believe brought us around 183 acre feet per year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant how many WEAs?
Oh, WEUs?
Or EUs, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the staff report. Every year, staff recommends the same number. So it's 115. 50 of those are residential, 65 are commercial.
Oh, so how many of those were actually utilized?
Last fiscal year, one.
One of 115?
Yes.
Did that include the new development?
So one thing to know about water equivalency units is that they're allocated during the planning permit phase of a project.
And so that would have been some years prior?
Yes. Gotcha. And the city made that change. I don't remember what year we made that change. It used to be based on building permits, but that didn't really make sense because we've already permitted a project to move forward, and then we're telling them, no, you can't, potentially. So we moved that to the planning phase so that, you know, if there is some sort of water concern, it can be addressed before a developer invests too much of their time and money into a project.
I just have one more. I'm not necessarily asking you to go make a new graph, but I'm curious about the 1,100 per year and if that's been fairly stable over time. I would expect, given that the ADUs now are not considered additional uses, even though they really are additional uses, that I would expect to see that maybe tick up even without allocating additional units. Is that reasonable?
So I would say that it is a relatively stable demand that we see. There's a calculation. I don't remember if we put it in this presentation, but, I mean, I believe one WEU is equivalent of, like, 0.2 acre feet.
Correct.
And so, you know, if we're looking at, let's say, we had 100 WEUs approved 1 year, that would represent around 20 more acre feet, which is, you know, considering we're looking at an overall demand of around 1,100, is not a very significant impact to the overall picture. And further, when we allocate WEUs, it's typically a couple of years out before the project is designed and built and occupied, and then we start seeing the draw on the water system. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
I think so. I think I was partly curious about over time. To me, there's a little bit of a non sequitur in saying that an ADU doesn't count as an additional water use, whereas it seems like it clearly will be an additional water use. So I'm just curious over time how that would factor into the analysis.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And by the way, we haven't gotten into the WEU portion of the presentation. Damaris isn't here tonight. She could probably answer this better, but I believe that we can't put that kind of constraint on an ADU addition because of state laws.
Right, but you would still want to track the overall usage to know how much water you might need.
We do, and that, ironically, is not done through the WEU process.
Okay. I can't say that I understand. Yeah. I would maybe for future, you know, next year, just seeing usage over time too might just be okay. Sort of interest, and also seeing how that may or may not correlate with the WE use.
Yeah, that's certainly something we could provide, Chair Beal. And just to kind of clarify my comment, the WEU process is used to slow down, or not slow down, but to smooth out maybe peaks or times of high activity of development because of water usage. For example, we wouldn't want, you know, like a 10,000-room casino to be built in town. That would totally overwhelm our system. And so it's meant to, I don't want to say slow down, but just, you know, with the WEU process, we're not able to approve, you know, huge projects all at once. We'd have to phase them out, and that helps us in our infrastructure planning. But it's not a tool to keep a check on water usage in a general sense. So anyway, I'll I hope I didn't confuse anything there, but yep. And I do want to mention we haven't gone into that portion of the presentation yet. But.
Yeah, and Damaris, what I understood for the WEU process was created when the city was worried about unbridled growth, and it's tied to that. It's not so much tied to what is the water supply, and as we've been more efficient in using our water, the actual water associated with a WEU, you know, what's allowed and what's it did has been dropping because of conservation. So it's just, it has not been a problem from what I understand.
That's all correct.
Recalling the last major drought period, I seem to recall that Morro Bay went from its 100% allocation to 5%, and then its stored water was exhausted in, I think, about a year and a half. And then we started using county water. Could you explain what that last stage was?
Yeah, so good question, Advisory Board Member Graffia. That was last year. That was the year 2022. And sometime in the middle of the year, the city ran out of its state water, our stored state water. And then we dipped into the county's stored state water, which the county graciously allowed its subcontractors to utilize after we exhausted all of our water supply.
But there's no way of estimating, should that happen in the future, what that would mean in terms of how many months or years Morro Bay would have sufficient water. I mean, or can you?
We certainly can do projections and forecasts, and, you know, that's part of a larger conversation about where the county is going right now with how they store their water. They've already indicated to the subcontractors that they don't necessarily intend to backstop all the subcontractors as they've done in the past. Currently, the county stores their state water on the county's dime, on the county taxpayer dime. In many cases, when those taxpaying folks receive no benefit from that state water that's being stored. So, for example, the city of San Luis Obispo does not receive state water. As county residents, they're subject to county taxes. They pay into the system that allows for the county to store state water, but during droughts, Morro Bay can get county state water that's been stored. Pismo Beach can. Some other jurisdictions can, but San Luis Obispo won't. And so there is a movement in the county to, over time, go away from being the safety net for the subcontractors for state water. Now, in doing that, they've indicated to the subcontractors that we have opportunities upcoming to potentially purchase an additional drought buffer. And that opens up a whole other question, because as we know, drought buffer could lead to stored state water for the city and other subcontractors, but that water spills. And so what use is that drought buffer if it's not reliable? And we're currently looking into alternatives and storage opportunities for that, because that is an item we'd like to bring to the city council later this year, possibly next year. So we've kind of gone off topic a bit. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to state water. Suffice it to say that the safety net that we had last year may not always be there, and city, you know, staff's estimation would do well to look at opportunities in that regard.
That brings up, is the San Luis Reservoir spilling right now?
San Luis Reservoir did spill in 2023, so any agencies that had stored water there would have lost that water. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'll move forward with the presentation. So now we're in the water equivalency units portion of the presentation. Just kind of some general facts about water equivalency units. The citizens of Morro Bay adopted Measure F in 1984 to create this water equivalency unit program as a growth management system. As we discussed, it regulates additional new water users to the city's water system, except arguably for ADUs, and it ensures the demand for water does not exceed available water supply, not year to year, but kind of in a bigger sense as the city grows. A water equivalency unit is a measurement of water use of water use equal to the average amount of water used by single-family residents over the period of 1 year, which is estimated right now to be 0.2 acre-feet per year, which is based off an assumption of 90 gallons per capita per day in a 1.9-person unit household. And these are, again, issued during planning permit approvals, so these are not short-term implications for water equivalency units. It's longer-term because the development process can sometimes take many years. So future water reliability, water service reliability forecast as part of the urban water management plan. That's something that we look at when we make recommendations about WEUs. And when we do that forecast, we base it on the worst five-year consecutive drought period on record. We also did the same thing last year. And in this evaluation, we found that the city's future water supply portfolio will be sufficiently reliable to provide water during such a five-year consecutive drought scenario, and that there is water available for future development, including new developments that require WEUs. So last fiscal year, we already discussed this, the City Council allocated 115 WEUs for development. We issued one. Of note, that one, you know, that's not a comprehensive list of all building activity. It's only required for single-family residential and multifamily residential. For example, when development is on an empty lot or when a change in use is proposed, i.e. changing the use from office to an apartment building. So that's when the WBUs would kick in. So based on that, our recommendation to the Public Works Advisory Board, we took this to the Planning Commission a couple weeks ago, is that you receive and file staff findings and strategies resulting from the annual water supply and demand assessment, and allocate 50 WEUs for residential development. That's comprised of 30 for single-family residential and 20 for multifamily residential, and 65 WEUs for commercial development for a total of 115 WEUs for the upcoming fiscal year. And that concludes our presentation. We'll take questions.
Yeah, I got ahead, so I think I asked all my questions. Any of the other board members have questions?
Only one. The 1.9 persons per household, Is that just our city? Or is that a state figure?
It's a good question, Advisory Board Member Nava. That it was a number, I believe, that was devised based on city demographics here, as was the usage.
I don't have any questions, but I do have a compliment that I've read these WEU presentations several times for several years, and this is the first one that really explained it well. So thank you for that. Whoever wrote it, thank you.
In that case, kudos to Damaris Hansen, who's not here today. But.
If there are no additional questions from the board, then I would open for public comment. If anyone would like to weigh in, please do so.
Betty Winholtz again. I'd like to ask the chair to ask the staff to answer my two questions. The first one has to do with page 3 of the report. The pages aren't numbered, but if you flip, it's the third page. And we had this discussion at the Planning Commission about whether that percentage of, say, last year, 5% was based on the city's allocation from the county, or if it's the percent that the state gives to the county. And I think we came at that point, the conclusion was that it was 5% of our allocation. I've done a little research since then, and in my evaluation, it's 5% of what goes to this county. And then that allows us to, then they can distribute our full allocation since we have that buffer zone, unless they're defining it differently. But I think that's why we don't run out of water every year. But I think that it'd be good to clarify that. And then my other comment has to do with the WEUs and that definition about that it can only be new development. Is that something that's in the Measure F law, or is that something that we can redefine so we can capture more of the development of what's going on and the water usages, i.e. the ADUs, as the chair mentioned earlier, or is it very specified in Measure F that this is how it has to be defined? Thanks.
Thank you. Do we have any virtual audience members that would like to comment?
There are no raised hands at this time.
All right, and I think we're finished with public comment. Did you wish to respond to the questions?
Sure, we'd be happy to. Chair Beal. Let Dan answer the state water question, and I'll take the other one.
Yeah, so state water is, I like to say, complicated. I think it's extra complicated in Slo County. Or I don't know if it's extra complicated, but it sure seems like it. So the Department of Water Resources owns and operates State Water Project. They have contracts with what we call the state water contractors. Locally here, the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District is the state water contractor. They have contracted for 25,000 acre feet of Table A allocation from the state water project. The district then has subcontracts with water utilities in San Luis County for portions of that 25,000, and as Greg mentioned, and then that, even that, those contracts are broken down into your water service amount and your drought buffer. When you're calculating, you know, technically the water available to a subcontractor, you take the annual allocation from the state, so let's say 5%, and then you multiply that times the sum of a subcontractor's water service amount for the city, it's 1,313, plus their drought buffer of 2,290. So 5% times 3,603 or something. Times that, that's the amount of water that the city has available to it in that given year. And you do that to all the other subcontractors. So it is the amount of water available to a subcontractor is directly tied to its water service amount and drought buffer. It's purchase allocations. However, the district also is sitting on the other 15,000 of unsubscribed allocation that it gets from DWR and has available to it. And historically, the practice has been that if a subcontractor doesn't have enough state water to get through a year, then it can access the district's excess allocation, as the city and many of the, almost all the other subcontractors had to do in 2002. So it's a little both, but technically the calculation is tied specifically to the city's water service amount and drought buffer, but has had this safety net of the district's unsubscribed allocation. As Greg mentioned, though, that's potentially changing. The district is looking to put that water to better use. The district is losing a lot of that water to spills in San Luis Reservoir because it doesn't have direct customers for that water, and so it's initiated, you know, an effort to try to find other uses for that unsubscribed allocation, meaning that in the future, the city can't and the other subcontractors can't always count on that safety net. And so the planning work that the city has done, it's incorporated in its 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. We incorporate it in the annual water supply demand assessment, only counts on the water that the city is directly contracted for because that other water may not be available in the future. And so it's a conservative strategy to make sure that the city has enough water now and into its future.
Thanks, Dan. And I'll answer the other question. You know, I don't have Measure F in front of me to look at. There's a lot of questions that could be asked about how the city currently implements the WEU program, which is essentially a hand-me-down year after year. And, one is we currently don't have a practice of carrying forward unused allocations. It's not clear to me that is something. So I think that actually Measure F may allow that. So there's another idea out there that Measure F really only looked to the year 2000, and we've been doing it for 23 years since then. So there's a question of whether or not there's even a need to continue this practice. I personally haven't looked into that. You know, it would certainly be an interesting question if PWEP thought that we ought to look into Measure F and whether we've maintained fidelity over the years to the language in Measure F or not. You know, ultimately, it would be a city council request to ask the staff to look into. But if PWEP felt that that was important, you can make that recommendation to the council as well.
Any further questions? I don't believe so. We have on the agenda that the staff recommendation is to recommend that the council receive and file the staff findings. Is that something you would like us to have a motion toward?
I don't see there's a need for a motion for this. However, we'd be happy to take input on the WEU item or the annual water supply and demand assessment item.
And there is no, seems to be no objection.
Okay. Thank you.
My bad.
And it, Chair Beal, looks like we left out the future items on the meeting agenda, but I think there's room to talk about that briefly if any advisory board member wishes to see something on a future agenda.
Yes, let's circle back to that. Any recommendations?
Returning to the issue that was before the board of at the last meeting in terms of the roundabout, will a revised plan ever return to the Public Works Board?
That's ultimately up to the City Council. It will be staff's recommendation that that happens. I've said that in the council meeting, that that's an option. So, I would expect yes, but it all, of course, depends on which direction the City Council member chooses. If there's a no-build alternative, then there's really nothing to bring back to PWAB on that.
Well, I guess I was suggesting if the City Council decides that, they want, for instance, greater assurances of pedestrian safety in the design of it, and there are certain recommendations to ensure that kind of safety, then I would expect that those recommendations would then come back to us for once again to express an opinion before we recommend or choose not to recommend it to the City Council. Would that work?
I understand the question. So staff is recommending, has recommended, that if the no-build alternative is chosen, that pedestrian improvements would be looked at during the local road safety plan process, which is soon to be underway. And so that analysis would come to the PWAB, yes, for that intersection and other areas of the city.
I'm interested, although I'm very hesitant. And I do not intend to assign any tasks to the city that they are not already engaged in, but I do remain interested in knowing, based on the events of this year, meaning the flooding, if there are any opportunities. I know that the current administration has allocated a fairly significant amount of money, including for coastal cities, resiliency projects, and whether there are any opportunities or any type of projects that would help mitigate that that kind of flooding in the future.
Thank you. Yeah, we can bring something back on that. We just very briefly, staff has applied for hazard mitigation funds. There's a difference between state and federal hazard mitigation funds. State funds are very competitive. We're going to be submitting for two projects. Federal, it's a bit more open. And we're going to fight for everything we can.
Well, in addition to FEMA, I know that NOAA is also has a significant amount of grant funding for resiliency. And I'm wondering, especially given that we have the National Estuary here, if there's anything related. I just don't know the scope of any type of project, but it seems like an appropriate place to spend that kind of money, given the resources that we have here.
We can certainly look at that and potentially bring something to PWAB to review.
I had one more water-related question. Maybe it's a history question, but it was mentioned earlier that there were city wells in the Chorro Basin, and I'm curious what happened to those and how they haven't been talked about as far as the potential for reuse or injection wells in that area.
Is the request to bring that back as an item? Because I feel a little uncomfortable given that that item is closed already to open it up again. I think we could bring that back as a kind of study item if that's desired.
Yeah, that would be a question that I'd be looking to find more information on. I guess I can also look into that if it's just a history thing I need to learn.
I could point you to the One Water Plan that has a bit of an analysis on our water supply and includes some information about the Chorro Valley Basin. And
there's vital water reclamation facility plan report.
Yeah, we can also send you a report that has some information as well.
The One Water Plan, I'll look into that.
Yeah, it's like a 600-page document. So if you go to the table of contents, you can just look for that water supply evaluation, and it'll be in there.
That's what I need. Thanks.
Looks like we are ready to adjourn. Thanks everyone for their attendance. Thanks to the staff for the presentations. The next meeting will be Wednesday, August 16th, here at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.